And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
The Four Nations face-off is finally here. Four Nations, one championship. We'll try to break it all down. Chris Meany going to join us. Jake Hahn, Pete Jensen. Nick Alberga not here today on location, but we'll try to locate Alberga for a future episode. PD, how we doing, buddy?
What's up, Jake? Great to be with you. Sweden, Finland, Canada, the United States. So really excited for this international best-on-best tournament. Been waiting for years for this, and it's a little preview of the Olympics too, man.
And this episode's brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip. Pete, any word that you are playing defense for Team Finland in this tournament? I feel like they're scrounging. They might have called Bob Bender. I don't know.
They may or may not have given me a call after Ristolainen and went down. But no, it's a big loss with especially Miro Heiskanen. We talked about it fantasy purposes on the previous show. And then now you spin it forward. What are Finland's chances of actually pulling an upset in any single round-robin game? So it's going to be, right, the round-robin games. Everybody plays each other once. And then the team that has compiled the most points, Jake, is going to move on to face the other top team in the championship game at TD Garden.
And I think in a tournament like this, Pete, I immediately gravitate towards the biggest underdog, because it's a 14 tournament, feels very quick, anything can happen. And Finland, as we know, is very pesky in these international tournaments, right? But I just, with that blue line, I don't know if I see it. I think we're crossing Finland off. I hate to rule out any team, especially, like I said, in a tournament like this where, okay, you win a couple games, all of a sudden you get the vibes going. But I feel like this Finland roster is a tier below the other three teams. Would you agree with that?
Definitely, but they do have some firepower offensively in the forward group, right? Patrick Laine, yeah. We saw him catch lightning in a bottle when he came back from injury and debuted for the Habs. He's going to be playing with even better players, and you'd hope, right, NHL teams and usage aside, Jake, that you see players like Mikko Rantanen put up monster point totals, even in defeat in some of these games. Same thing for Patrick Laine. You don't want to see these guys in the doghouse in any capacity. Let the leashes loose, and let's see what these guys can do goal-scoring-wise. I would say that those two players are the dark horses to compete among the league's best in points and goals, respectively, in this tournament, even if Finland loses every game.
In terms of the top of the board, is it the U.S.'s tournament to lose at this point? I understand when you look at the top, it's Canada, U.S., pretty equal in terms of odds, at least, but I think a lot of that is priced into past history, right? Canada has always been good in these international tournaments, but it's been a long time since we've seen best on best outside of the World Juniors, Pete. So to me, I think the U.S. should be the favorite, but they're not priced that way in most markets. I think it's pretty equal. But do you feel like this is the U.S.'s time to really make a move, and they should be priced accordingly?
I mean, they haven't won one of these major, I'm talking when everybody's playing, tournaments, right? Hasn't it been since like 1980, since the epic run? So it's incredible how long that period of time has been. But this new wave of talent, Jack Hughes, Austin Matthews, the Tkachuk brothers, right? I mean, Sanderson's going to be replacing Quinn Hughes. That's unfortunate, like, that Quinn Hughes isn't going to be playing in this tournament. But Sanderson has been a fantasy stud this season as well. So I would say that the goaltending for the U.S. is much better than Canada's. And that's why I would still lean, regardless of Crosby's status, I would lean with the U.S. to be able to win those battles, thanks to whether it comes down to Hellebuck, Jake Oettinger, or even Jeremy Swayman. Remember how good Swayman was in the playoffs last year.
Well, yeah, exactly. And how big of an impact is that Quinn Hughes injury, Pete? It feels like the week before the Four Nations tournament, we picked up so many injuries from big players on all these different teams, right? But Quinn Hughes was the one that really jumped out to me as someone that's going to make a massive impact. I would argue he might be the most important player to his team in the NHL this year for what he does for the Vancouver Canucks. So is there a replacing him? I know you mentioned Jake Sanderson stepping up. I think great that he gets the opportunity. He's having a nice season for Ottawa this year. But how big of a blow do you feel like that is to the back end of the U.S.? It's hard to replace a guy like Quinn Hughes.
You can't replace him. So let's just go to the next man up. Zach Werenski, yeah, one of the biggest fantasy steals in the entire league this year. He's going to be the number one defenseman for the U.S., University of Michigan product. And then, of course, you have Adam Fox from Long Island. I think that he has a chance here to turn his season around. Has been a little underwhelming fantasy-wise this season, but if you're drafting in fantasy pools or looking at props for this round, with Quinn Hughes out, I think that Adam Fox has a chance to play with some great talent and put up a lot of points on the blue line. Right now, I think the top defenseman, bar none, is Cale Makar from Canada. If you're doing fantasy rankings, number two, I would even side with Victor Hedman slightly based on his experience and well-rounded play compared to Zach Werenski.
Is Canada too old, Pete? Are they getting a little too... The back end of Canada is getting a little on, and obviously they had a decision to make on the blue line as well, and Drew Doughty ends up stepping in. And I think Doughty was probably the safe play, right? The guy that has been there before, has played international hockey. The problem is he's coming off a long injury. He's only played in the NHL for, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks at this point? So we're questioning maybe where he's at physically at this point, but Canada ends up going with Doughty. In my opinion, I felt like Uyghur might have been a great play. I would have loved to see Mackenzie Uyghur get the shot, but I understand why Canada goes with Drew Doughty. But do you feel like maybe they're being overvalued a little bit just based on past history? And I'm looking at this roster, and it's a little aged out, in my opinion, Pete. How do you feel?
Well, have we ever seen, to just play counterpoint here, have we ever seen McDavid, MacKinnon, and Cale Makar on the ice together at the same time in an international competition? You tell me. I'm happy to see that and feast my eyes on that, whether Crosby plays or not. I know they could do the little Nova Scotia line that everybody's talking about with Marchand and Crosby and MacKinnon, but I want to see MacKinnon and McDavid and Makar whipping it on the power play and even at even strength. That, to me, is a combination, a trio, that the United States cannot match.
I mean, that power play unit is unbelievable when you put it on paper. And again, I'm trying to figure out what a lot of these teams are going to do for power play units, Pete. Like, okay, who's going to be the shooter on these specific teams? And I wanted to ask you that about Canada because, okay, who's going to be the guy that's actually putting the puck in the back of the net, right? I look up and down that roster. There's a lot of guys that can move the puck around, playmaking type players, but who is going to be the guy, when you look at some of the prop markets, so we can get into that with Meany in the betting segment as well, who's going to be the finisher on Team Canada? I'm looking at maybe a Sam Reinhart as somebody that, you know, is maybe going to be in those goal scoring positions. Obviously we know Nathan MacKinnon can do it. And hey, Connor McDavid had a year where he just decided he wanted to be the best goal scorer in the league once, so he could do it as well. But who do you think is going to be that finisher for Team Canada?
There are a couple that come to mind. Braden Point, regardless of line mates, right? He's got the Cooper connection and stuff like that. Braden Point is a ice in his veins finisher. We've seen it in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We've seen it in the Stanley Cup final and those breakaways. Another guy that's a finisher low-key is Mark Stone. That always strikes me as a clutch player for the Golden Knights, whether they win some of those crazy playoff series or not. I love him. And yeah, Rhino, Sam Reinhart, is still out for respect. We have him at number 11 in our fantasy rankings for the Four Nations playoff, Four Nations tournament. So, like, we're still not taking him seriously as maybe the best high danger scorer in the league. So, yeah, he's out for respect and could have a massive tournament regardless of line mates.
The one team we haven't talked about yet, Pete, is the team I think actually interests me the most from any sort of betting angle, whether that's outright or game by game prop market, is actually Team Sweden. And I look up and down that roster. I get it. They've struggled a little bit in international play, but we haven't seen this version of Team Sweden yet in years. And I on paper, at the very least, I look at a team that has a lot of lethal finishing ability. And I don't know how they're going to shake out their power play units, but I'm very interested in Team Sweden. And I feel like we're getting some pretty good value. To me, I think they should be priced a little closer to where Team Canada and Team USA are, in my opinion, Pete. What are your thoughts about Team Sweden going to this tournament?
It's fair. It's counting, right? Regulation wins and overtime shootout wins and counting kind of overtime shootout losses. So I expect Sweden to be competitive regardless, even with the injury to Jacob Markstrom, right? You got Gustafsson, you got some nice goalie options here. And I think that also they have the best defense in the tournament. You look at three of the top five defensemen in our fantasy rankings. You got Victor Hedman, who I mentioned earlier. You got EK65. He's never won the cup, so he's going to be playing, you know, his behind off in this tournament. And then you have Rasmus Dahlin, a guy that's never played in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Look at those storylines as well. Dahlin's never played in the playoffs. Brady Tkachuk has never played in the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if those both guys elevated their game to another level that we have yet to see.
Those fantasy rankings you mentioned, by the way, Pete, NHL.com/fantasy. I'm looking at them right now. What went into these rankings for you? Like, what was the process in going through these rankings, ranking these players? Because it's a short tournament. You know, obviously, look at the top of the board, loaded with Canadian players. Did you go with teams that you like, or you just stick tried and true, you know, players that you like, and that's sort of where you stop?
Well, you're talking offensively. Canada is going to take the cake, so we have a couple of the Canadian guys right at the top, and deservedly so. Of course, Quinn Hughes not on the list because he's going to miss the tournament, so for the U.S., that kind of quells their offense to an extent, but I think we could all still step back and say if Austin Matthews leads this tournament in goals, we wouldn't be surprised in the least, regardless of whether he's playing with the Tkachuks or with Jack Hughes or anything like that. Some great combinations to work with there. I think we viewed, and this is Chris Meaney and Troy Perlowitz, they all had their input on these rankings as well. We viewed Sweden as the third best team, and then there was a drop off to the fourth best team, Finland. But the goalie rankings are a little muddled because the goalies for Canada, right, Jake, are a little shaky to say the least. I know that Aiden Hill and Binnington have won the cup before, but that doesn't stack up to Hellebuck, Ottinger, and Swayman, does it?
Well, and the best Canadian goaltender this year is not playing in this tournament, right? In Logan Thompson. They named it. And look, when you name the roster as early as you did, but looking back on it, I mean, he was still playing really well at that time. So I think that was a bit of a fumble by Canada. Not that those guys can't get it done. Like you said, Pete, they've got Stanley Cup experience, big game experience. Aiden Hill, Binnington, these guys could step up and play well. It wouldn't shock me at all. But to leave Logan Thompson at home, I think is a little bit of a fumble by Team Canada. Is there any player, you know, looking at your rankings in that 30 to 50 range, anybody from maybe an underdog perspective? Because at a tournament like this, Pete, you get all these guys, right, that are top-line players on their own team end up being second-line, third-line players in a tournament like this. But is there anybody you're looking at in that range to maybe have a bit of an impact, kind of play that underdog role in this tournament?
I mean, if it's anyone who's being overlooked that has a past pedigree of being a superstar points-wise, it's probably Elias Pettersson for Sweden, right? You talk about who's the number one center on Team Sweden. Is it Pettersson? He should be the guy, but he's had a down year fantasy-wise and in reality with all the drama with JT Miller and stuff like that. You also have some guys like Mika Zibanejad, a little revitalized lately after the Miller trade. We've talked about it on the show. There's also Joel Eriksson Ek, another guy that has a great all-around game but has been disappointing fantasy-wise this year. So who's it going to be? And if Sweden is somehow going to get to this championship game, you're probably going to need two or three of those guys to really step up. And when you stack up all the forwards and defensemen in the league, you're going to find all three of those Sweden centers that could potentially be the number one to play with Nylander, play with Philip Forsberg, play power play one with Dahlin or EK65 or Victor Hedman. So there's a lot of points to go around for whoever gets that job.
I'll give you my player to watch for this tournament, Pete. It's Dylan Larkin of the United States. He's been playing some excellent hockey the last few weeks for the Detroit Red Wings. So I think he comes in with some form, maybe a little bit of confidence after that coaching change in Detroit. A lot of focus is going to be on those top guys for the United States. Obviously, Austin Matthews, Jack Eichel, some of these top guys. I think that's going to free up a little space for Dylan Larkin. So I've got my eye on him. But that U.S. roster, Petey, is very, very deep. I think when you look at Canada, they've got the high-end talent. They've got McKinnon, McDavid, and they're very high in your rankings over at NHL.com. But when I look at the depth of those U.S. forwards, I think that is where they probably have the advantage over Team Canada going into this tournament.
And even on defense, they stack up, right? We haven't mentioned Charlie McAvoy, and he's going to have another guy from Long Island that's going to have a ton of talent around him, even more than he's had in recent years with the Boston Bruins. And then, you know, you go deeper down, and yeah, you were talking about the forward depth. I mean, you're talking about Seth Jarvis and Travis Konecny maybe being like an extra on Canada. I mean, that's just ridiculous because both of those guys have been fantasy studs in recent years. So Canada's got a crazy amount of riches in the forward group. U.S. is not far behind. Finland and Sweden, I think, a step below. But I think Sweden's competitive fire in these international tournaments could definitely have them upset U.S. or Canada in a crucial game if it comes down to it with the round robin.
this kind of tournament, you got to hit the ground running, right? Like these types of games, you lose that first game and all of a sudden you're in trouble, right? Because, and maybe explain the format a little bit, because I think a lot of us are, you know, kind of confused trying to figure out exactly how this tournament works, but everybody plays each other and then we get the final, right, between the top two teams.
Right, and I think it's a 3-2-1 structure with the regulation win being 3 points, and it's like the standings, but it's 2 points for the overtime shootout win and then 1 point for the overtime or shootout loss, no points for a regulation loss, and that makes perfect sense. So that's how it's going to be, and we'll see how it shakes out with the round robin. Again, every team is going to play each other one time, and you're going to have fantasy surprises if you're doing a pool. You're going to be all over the props market. The props market in this tournament is going to be gravy, I think, on top of how good it's been in the NHL season. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's now time for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365 with our good pal Chris Meaney. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit connectsontario.ca. Means, good to have you on, buddy, as always. What are you looking at? Top of the board, Canada, U.S., co-favorites, I guess we'll call them, at the top. Then you get Sweden in that next tier, Finland in the tier behind. What are you looking at initially here?
Yeah, I'm looking at, I mean, there's some interesting markets here too. You know, you just look at the top point getters for the entire tournament. You see a guy like McDavid at +650 and McKinnon at 8-1, but I really have my focus on Cale Makar. Cale Makar to lead the tournament in points at 22-1 over at Bet365. And this is a horse, right? This is a guy, 25 minutes a night. It's the second most among anybody in the NHL. And you look at his form recently, he's got 10 points in his past seven. He's tied for 13th in points, but he doesn't leave the ice, guys. You see the other night, 29 minutes against the Oilers, he was on the ice for the final 3 minutes of that game. He's going to log a ton of ice time in this tournament. So this is a player that I think will lead the tournament in ice time overall. And you look at the potent offense that Team Canada has. So at 22-1 for Cale Makar to lead the tournament in points, I think is a pretty good number, Pete.
It's a huge long shot, and he's one of the best players in the league and the best or second best defenseman, however you want to slice it, whether you're comparing him to Quinn Hughes or somebody else. So I think that when you look at Team Finland, they have an opportunity here, Chris, to potentially pull an upset at some point, whether it's off the back of goal scorers like Rantanen and Laine, or maybe even their goaltender, Jussi Saros, who has a couple shutouts in the league this year, has been one of the best goalies in the NHL for quite some time, even as Nashville has dwindled here this season. But what are your chances of Finland actually pulling an upset? And if so, how are you playing it from a betting lens?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to take a look at Finland to win hockey games here in this tournament, it would probably be the under, right? They're not going to blow you away with anything offensively. You look at their defense, their blue line is not great. It's got a lot of holes in the back end, and then you have to deal with the offense that Canada's going to bring. You're going to have to deal with the four lines that Team USA has as well. So I'd probably stay clear of some of the Finland games, but they will have some decent odds in the betting market. Maybe Finland and the under when they play their rival Sweden is something that you can take a look at. If you want to just look at futures overall for the tournament, I mean, Barkov's got a decent number to lead his team in points at +450. Lekkonen, there's, you know, he's familiar with playing with Mikko Rantanen, so those guys could be up on the top line with Barkov down the middle of the ice. So Lekkonen to lead his team in points at 10-1. I think that's a decent number as well, Jake.
So we got four games available, right? Four games available. All the lines are up for these games. The round robin, all these teams playing each other. I think the one that jumps out to me, Meaney, and I'm curious your take on this, if there's any games that really jump out to you. I know you mentioned maybe some unders with Finland. We are getting some pretty low totals. 5.5s basically across the board in all of these games. It is an NHL tournament, right? And we have seen some lower scoring games. So I understand the 5.5s. Maybe there's a couple overs we can take. But Sweden, I might lose my Canadian citizenship here, guys, but Sweden in that first game, +235 over at Bet365 right now, I'm looking at. To me, that should be a priced a lot closer. I don't think Sweden and Canada are that far off. When I put those rosters together on paper, I get it. That game's happening in Canada. Maybe there's a bit of home ice advantage. I don't know how much that's going to factor in a tournament like this. But, Mina, you're going to have to talk me out of betting Sweden at that big price. I think that should be priced a lot closer, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jake. It should be a lot closer. I do believe Canada should be favorites in that game. But when you look at the goaltending, you guys discussed it, right? That's the biggest question mark for Team Canada, right? Logan Thompson is not there. I know Jordan Binnington and Aiden Hill have Stanley Cups, and I expect Aiden Hill to be the guy for Team Canada. But there's a difference between the goalies and the two teams, and Filip Gustavsson's had a great season as well. And, you know, Sweden's got a lot of players that can score. Mika Zibanejad is probably playing his best hockey of the season, thanks to the addition JT Miller in New York. William Nylander's among the leaders in goals. Jesper Bratt is one of the most underrated players in the league. You got volume shooters and Philip Forsberg and Adrian Kempe. So if you're looking for an upset right off the hop, I think that's one. But I really like this Team Canada team, guys. And I know that, I'll point to the goaltending here, Pete, but it's up and down their roster. They just have winners. And I know that may be silly to hear and even to say, but Crosby Cups, McKinnon Cups, Marchand, Reinhardt, Point, Stone, Bennett, look at the defensive pair, Makar and Taves. These guys have been shutdown guys for years. Cups. And who do they replace Pietrangelo with? Drew Doughty. Multiple cups. So they have a lot of players on this team that have won in big spots. So I wouldn't count out Team Canada just because of their goaltending.
No, it's a fair point. If you're looking at long shots, Chris, to lead the tournament in goals, there are a lot of interesting ones. Mark Stone plus 3,500, Patrick Laine plus 3,000, Jake Guentzel plus 3,000, Dylan Larkin plus 4,000. Who is your favorite pick among the dark horses, like plus 3,000 or longer?
I'll give some love to Kyle Connor at 30-1. You look at Team USA's lineup, but you know they're obviously pretty deep here, and there's a couple things that they can do with their lineup, and Kyle Connor may be the X factor in this tournament, right? You can play him on the wing at the top line with maybe Matthew Tkachuk and Jack Eichel. You can keep him with Jack Hughes and Austin Matthews there on that second line. He's a trigger man on the power play. He's also in good form. So Kyle Connor, I think, is undervalued in this tournament, and also Matthew Tkachuk, another guy that I think is on a 5 or 6 game bull streak as we're recording here, 30-1 as well. And then Matt Boldy, sticking with the USA theme, you know, probably penciled in on the fourth line, but is that somebody who could move up into the top six at some point throughout the tournament if he's scoring goals? Like, it'll be very, very interesting to see how the coaches, you know, juggle the lines pretty quickly. Okay, this is working. All of a sudden, halfway through game two, Boldy's looking pretty good. He scored early. Let's give him a little bit more ice time up in that top line with one of these playmaker centers like a Jack Eichel or a Jack Hughes. So those are a couple players I would take a look at. Connor 30-1, Tkachuk 30-1. But I also don't hate, Jake, the numbers of Reinhardt at 10-1 or Nathan McKinnon at 15-1. Those are some pretty good numbers as well.
Well, I like the Kyle Connor number. You said 30-1 for Kyle Connor. I think, look, when I look at that Team USA roster, obviously Matthews is going to get a lot of love, but Connor is going to be in scoring positions. And means this is probably something we're going to have to follow, you know, closer to when these games happen. And maybe it's going to change game by game, but these power play combinations, like I look at Team Sweden and I think, okay, we've got a lot of guys on Team Sweden that want to shoot the puck, right? You got Nylander on that power play. You got a guy like Adrian Kempe. You got a guy like Philip Forsberg, who all these guys in their specific NHL teams are the trigger men on the power play, but there's only one puck at the end of the day, right? So I think a lot of that is going to matter. I'm looking at Adrian Kempe 50-1 top goal scorer. Maybe a little bit too much Sweden love from me, but you got to kind of pick a team and kind of roll with it in a tournament like this. And I think Sweden's going to be my side. I like that Kempe number. If he ends up being one of the trigger men on the power play, I think there's some value in that 50-1.
Yeah, and we're used to seeing him be the trigger man, right, Jake? I mean, he had 7 shots in his last game. You know, he loves that bottom of the circle type spot there. And Nylander's a really good playmaker as well. And I heard Pete talk about Elias Pettersson. Imagine if he gets going here. You know, 75-1 to lead the tournament in goals is a very long number. And clearly a long shot, but you think of some of the linemates that they do have. I like the Kempe call. And Pete, maybe just to look at Kempe to lead Team Sweden in goals is 8-1 with Nylander the favorite at 4-1, I think is a pretty sharp number there as well.
That's actually a category I was just going to mention. You can bet, if you want to say, let's just avoid Canada because they have all these top guys, especially sure. If we find out Sid is playing and there's just too many top tier point and goal producers. You could bet on, like, let's say Leo Carlson to lead Team Sweden in goals at plus 1600. You can just categorize it by team, and that's a category where I think I like a player like Brady Tkachuk even more, plus 1000. He's got four guys on the U.S. above him on the odds board, but Brady Tkachuk playing with better players than he usually is in an environment that's superior to what he's been playing in with Ottawa and always missing the playoffs, right? Maybe Brady Tkachuk leads Team USA in goals for the tournament at plus 1,000. I like that play.
Yeah, that's another guy that could be an X factor in this tournament and what Team USA can do. Like, can we see the Tkachuk brothers together on a line? I think everybody wants to see that. And right now they have Brady penciled in on the third line, but, you know, they could put him with Matthew and Jack Eichel, and all of a sudden, you know, that's a trio. All three of those guys could potentially lead their team in goals. So I like that market quite a bit. Just, you know, again, I'll go to Matthew Tkachuk at 12-1. You like Brady, right? One of the Tkachuk brothers there shows up in good numbers to lead Team USA. I like Lekkonen for Finland at 10-1. Look at Kempe for Sweden. And this isn't the best number for Team Canada, but Reinhardt to lead his team in goals at 5-1. All this guy does is score goals. Pete, remember when we did the Edge story at the end of the year? The most special teams goals, power play, shorthanded. He's going to be playing in all situations. If they decide to get away from a line that looks like Crosby, McKinnon, and McDavid, looks like potentially they could load up on one line. Maybe they go with the all-Nova Scotia line for a different line, and they have Reinhardt on that top line with a guy like McDavid. He could easily lead this tournament in goals.
Meany, just to wrap here, keep it simple. I don't think there's a ton of value in the outright market, right? With four teams, it's tough to find that big number that's going to get you excited. But if you had $100, just $100 in the account, you had to bet it on an outright, who are you picking? Canada, U.S., Sweden, Finland. Who's your $100 going on?
I'm picking Canada, guys. You know, it's what I talked about earlier with all the leaders and all those players in big game situations. The way that I know that John Cooper wants to coach, he's going to have a shutdown line of like a Cirelli and a Mark Stone and a Hagel. This is what he's going to do, and that's how he picked the team. Like, Mark Scheifele is among the leaders in goals. Not on the team, not even really considered. So that's where I'm going in the experience. I understand the goaltending is not great. Connor Hellebuck hasn't showed us that he's won in big spots. You look at Team USA, Eichel, Tkachuk, Gensel, these guys have cups. Other players are pretty flashy. They haven't shown me that they can win in big spots.
Connor Hellebuck hoists the trophy at the end, or gold medal, whatever it's going to be. Connor Hellebuck has had some playoff struggles here. He's going to have a lot more of an infusion of talent. Best goalie in the tournament from number two on. There's a lot of debate. It could be Gustafsson, could be, you know, anybody, any of the surprises, Aiden Hill, UPL. There's some weird names on the list, but Connor Hellebuck is the best goalie in the league two straight years running, two-time Vezina winner, and he has maybe the most to prove of any player in this entire tournament if he can lock it down against Canada. So I think if the U.S. wins, Connor Hellebuck is going to be the biggest reason why.
Yeah, he does have a lot to prove, Petey, and I think people are going to continue to doubt the Winnipeg Jets. They continue to do it all year because of what happened last year, and I think this is a different version of the Winnipeg Jets, and maybe Hellebuck uses this Four Nations send a little bit of a message across the bow that he's the best goaltender in the league. Meany, thanks for this, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Guys, just enjoy it. It is what it is, right? Just enjoy it. It's been a long time since we've seen best on best. We're going to see McDavid and McKinnon together, like, on a line. Just sit back and enjoy. It should be a lot of fun.
And off the tune of what Meany said about just sitting back and enjoying, I think maybe one of the best bets you can make in this tournament, and then just sit back and relax and put your head on the pillow and feel good about it. Connor McDavid plus 650 to win the point scoring race in this tournament. And he's the best point man in the NHL, and Conn Smythe and everything. He's got something to prove as well. So that's a huge number, a long number, even though he is the favorite to do that.
Well, and I do feel like that's the safe play, right, Pete? I'm sitting here scouring Team Sweden and saying, who's going to shoot the puck? Who's going to be the guy? And I'm, you know, a little confused. I'm kind of, you know, confusing myself trying to figure out who's going to be the guy. We know McDavid is going to be that guy for Team Canada. Like, there's no doubt about it that he is going to be playing a heavy amount of minutes. Obviously, first power play, obviously getting a lot of those touches. So I don't mind that. Just don't overthink it, right? You know, myself and Meany, we're looking at some big numbers. I know Meany mentioned Kyle Connor, 30-1 for top goal scorer. I like that. 50-1 myself for Adrian Kempe for Team Sweden. So some big numbers out there, but sometimes it's smart just to play it safe.
It's rare where Bob really doesn't have an angle or a play. The only thing, Bobby, I'm on my knees praying, and every hockey fan should pray, whether you work for the NHL whether you just watch the NHL, just pray to your savior, your God, whoever that may be, that there is no major injury to a major player in this tournament. Whether that's a McDavid, that changes the landscape of the Stanley Cup playoff race and the season. Like a Leon Draisaitl getting injured. I mean, he's not playing because he's Germany, But guys, you guys get it. Let's just pray. Let's pray to our lords and put a bow on it.
Well, I hope Leon doesn't get injured in Cabo or wherever he's going for
yeah,
2 weeks.
He's not on the Germany.
Be careful. He might be having a good time down there, as he should. He deserves it, right? A lot of these and that's another angle. Bob mentioned it as well, right? There's a lot of players not playing in this tournament that are getting a couple weeks off. You know, maybe that affects how we come out of this tournament. Pete, any loose ends for you? Anything you want to say before we wrap this baby up?
No, just looking for some. Hopefully, we get Canada's going to be diving in, is going to be full fledged supporting them out in Bell Center in Montreal. But let's get the U.S. casual fans in the U.S. involved here. Let's get people chiming in from all around the country, back in Austin Matthews, back in Jack Hughes, Jack Eichel, who's as good as anybody out there. And now we see, I think, where some of these college hockey standouts can really put the country over the edge and take it to another level here.
Well, speaking of Cabo, we will get Alberga back after the break. A well-deserved break for Alberga. He works hard, kind of. But this episode brought to you by Skip. As always, skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.